We have set of verses 43 till 45. So we'll recite the first verse, 43rd verse. So you can all repeat behind me. Aham bhavo yagya ime pradesha. Dakshadayo ye bhavat adayascha. Swarlokapala khagalokapala. Nirlokapala stalalokapala. Aham bhavo yagya ime pradesha. Dakshadayo ye bhavat adayascha. Swarlokapala khagalokapala. Nirlokapala stalalokapala. Aham bhavo yagya ime pradesha. Dakshadayo ye bhavat adayascha. Swarlokapala khagalokapala. Nirlokapala stalalokapala. Dakshadayo ye bhavat adayascha. Swarlokapala khagalokapala.
Nirlokapala stalalokapala.
Nirlokapala stalalokapala. Aham bhavo yagya ime pradesha. Dakshadayo ye bhavatadayascha. Swarlokapala khagalokapala. Nirlokapala stalalokapala. Aham bhavo yagya ime pradesha. Dakshadayo ye bhavatadayascha. Swarlokapala khagalokapala. Nirlokapala stalalokapala. Ladies. Dakshadayo ye bhavatadayascha. Swarlokapala khagalokapala. Nirlokapala stalalokapala. So we have two more verses. I will just recite those verses. Gandharva vidyadhara charanesha ye yaksharaksho raganaganatha yeva rishinam rishabha pitranam daityendra siddheshvara danavendra annyecha ye preta pishacha bhuta kushmanda yado mrigapakshi adishah yatkincha loke bhagavan mahasvad ojha sashvad balavat kshamavat shri hiri vibhuti atmavad adbhut taranam tatvam param rupavad asvarupam. So word to word meaning aham myself, Brahmaji, Bhavah, Lord Shiva, Yajna, Lord Vishnu, Ime, all these, Praja Ishah, the father of the living beings, Daksha Adayah, Daksha, Marichi Manu, etc. Ye, those, Bhavat, yourself, Adayah, Adayah Cha, and the bachelors, Sanat Kumar and his brothers, Swaraloka Palah, the leaders of the heavenly planets, Khagaloka Palah, the leaders of space travelers, Niraloka Palah, the leaders of mankind, Talaloka Palah, the leaders of the lower planets. Translation. I myself, Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Vishnu, great generators of living beings like Daksha and Prajapati, yourselves, Narada and the Kumaras, heavenly demigods like Indra and Chandra, the leaders of the Bhurlok planets, the leaders of the earthly planets, the leaders of the lower planets, the leaders of the Gandharva planets, the leader of the Vidyadhara planets, the leaders of the Charana Lok planets, the leaders of the Yakshas, Takshasas and Uragas, the great sages, the great demons, the great atheists and the great spacemen, as well as the dead bodies, evil spirits, Satans, Jinn, Kushmandas, great aquatics, great beasts and great birds, etc. In other words, anything and everything which is exceptionally possessed of power, opulence, mental and perceptual dexterity, strength, forgiveness, beauty, modesty, opulence and breeding, whether in form or formless, may appear to be the specific truth and the form of the Lord. But actually, they are not so. They are only a fragment of the transcendental potency of the Lord. Parabhad by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada. Those in the list given above, beginning from the name Brahmaji, the first living creature within the universe, down to Lord Shiva, Lord Vishnu, Narada and other powerful demigods, men, supermen, sages, rishis and other lower creatures of extraordinary strength and opulence, including the dead bodies, satans, evil spirits, jinn, aquatics, birds and beasts, may appear to be the Supreme Lord. But factually, none of them is the Supreme Lord. Every one of them possesses only a fragment of the great potencies of the Supreme Lord. The less intelligent man is surprised to see the wonderful actions of material phenomena, as the aborigines are fearful of a great thunderbolt, a great and gigantic banyan tree, or a great lofty mountain in the jungle. For such undeveloped human beings, merely the slight display of the Lord's potency is captivating. A still more advanced person is captivated by the powers of the demigods and goddesses. Therefore, those who are simply astonished by the powers of anything in the creation of the Lord, without any factual information of the Lord Himself, are known as Shaktas or worshippers of the great powers. The modern scientist is also captivated by the wonderful actions and reactions of natural phenomena, and therefore is also a Shakta. These lower great persons gradually rise to become Shauryas, worshippers of the sun god, or Ganapatyas, worshippers of the mass of people as Janta Janardhan or Daridra Narayan, etc. in the form of Ganapati, and then rise to the platform of worshipping Lord Shiva in search for the ever-existing soul, and then to the stage of worshipping Lord Vishnu, the super soul, etc. Without any information of Govinda, Lord Krishna, who is the original Lord Vishnu. In other ways, some are worshippers of race, nationality, birds, beasts, evil spirits, Saturns, etc. The general worship of Shani Dev, the lord of distressful condition, and Sheetala Devi, the goddess of smallpox, is also common to the mass of people. And there are many foolish men who worship the mass of people or the poor class of men. So different persons, societies and communities, etc., worship some of the potent manifestations of the Lord, wrongly accepting the powerful object as God. But in this verse, it is advised by Brahmaji that none of them is the Supreme Lord. They are only borrowed plumes from the original Almighty Lord Shri Krishna. When the Lord advises in Bhagavad Gita to worship Him alone, it is to be understood that worshipping Lord Krishna includes worshipping all that is mentioned, because He, Lord Krishna, includes everything, everyone. When the Lord is described as formless in the Vedic literatures, it is to be understood that all these forms mentioned above, within the experience of universal knowledge, are different exhibitions of the Lord's transcendental potencies only. And none of them factually represents the transcendental form of the Lord. But when the Lord actually descends on the earth or anywhere within the universe, the less intelligent class of men also mistake Him to be one of them. And thus they imagine the transcendence to be formless or impersonal. Factually, the Lord is not formless, nor does He belong to any of the multiforms experienced within the universal forms. One should try to know the truth about the Lord by following the instruction of Brahmaji. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmay Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Dinamine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschat Deshatarine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayati girim yat kripasattamaham vande shri gurum dinatarinam. Hare Krishna. So welcome to all of you for our everyday Srimad Bhagavatam class. And before I begin to speak, I would like to seek blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas and also those who are watching online, so that I can speak for my own purification and also for the benefit of everyone present here. So we are discussing a very wonderful subject, wherein Brahmaji is having conversation with Narad Muni, and Narad Muni has this doubt. So he was feeling that Brahmaji is the Supreme Personality. He is the greatest. So then Lord Brahma, who is a devotee, who is a Vaishnava, he knows clearly what his position is. So he is clarifying his position that he is not the Supreme Lord. Supreme Lord is someone else. So in these three shlokas that we have just recited, so Brahma is giving the list of all the different kinds of leaders in the whole universe, right from Lord Vishnu, Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwar, and Durgaji, the Shakti of the Lord, and then Vidyadharas, Charanas, different varieties of demigods, Indra, Chandra, so many different, you know, leaders of the universal planetary systems. And then he also mentions about some of the qualities, right, like strength, forgiveness, beauty, dexterity, etc. So Brahmaji is telling that all these may appear to be like Supreme Lord, you know, because of their power, because of their opulences, we might mistake them to be the Supreme Lord. But then Brahmaji is mentioning that although they may appear to be the forms of the Lord, but they are not the forms of the Supreme Lord, as they do not arise from the Lord's Swarupa Shakti, internal potency. Right? Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, they are the Guna avatars of the Lord. Right? And all the demigods, they are part and parcel of Krishna. So they are not arising from the Swarupa Shakti of the Lord, the internal potency of the Lord. That is the difference which Brahmaji is clarifying here in this set of verses. And he is also mentioning the strength, the power, the opulences that these great personalities possess. They are nothing but fraction of the splendor of the Supreme Lord. Just negligible quantity. That is what he is clarifying. So, I just remembered one quotation from one of the very renowned scientists, Louis Pasteur. He mentions, "The more I study nature, the more I stand amazed at the work of the Creator. Science brings men closer to God." So around 500 years back, all the scientific community, all the scientists, they were all philosophers also. They were all believers of God. If you take example of Newton and many other such personalities, they would read Bhagavad Gita every day. So they were philosophically situated. They knew the knowledge of the Lord. And this is what we can understand from this quotation also. The more I study the nature, the more I stand amazed at the work of the Creator. If you see the nature around us, we will be amazed. So many wonderful creations of the Lord we can see. The science should bring men closer to God. Now suppose, if I give you a measuring jar, which can measure up to 10 liters of water, say, right? And if I ask you to measure the water contained in the ocean, the Arabian Ocean that we have here in Mumbai, so can you be able to do it with that 10 liters of jar? How long will it take? It's impossible. It's not going to happen. So if I tell you to measure the weight of a huge mountain, some Himalayan mountain, with the measuring, you know, weight that you have, is it possible to measure the weight of the whole mountain? It's not possible. Right? So nature is so broad. So we can see so many wonderful manifestations of the Supreme Lord in the nature around us, which are so fascinating to us also. But they are so huge. But again, Brahmaji is clarifying that they are nothing but a small fragmental portion of the Lord's opulence. That is very important. So here, Prabhupada also mentions some people, less intelligent people, they worship even animals also. Some worship tiger, lion, because they are so powerful. Some people even worship ghosts, deadly bodies also. So someone was asking this question, how come someone can worship dead bodies? What is the power or the opulence that the dead bodies have? Right? But there are people in India, not only India but outside India also, if you take the example of Egyptian mummies, they also preserve the dead bodies for such a long time. In one sense, they are worshipping the dead bodies, right? So they imagine that, you know, they will get some powers from these dead bodies. And genie, Prabhupada also mentions, you know, Aladdin ka jinn. So these are all great personalities. And people may get fascinated by them and they try to worship them as God. So that is the mistake which people may do. That is what Brahmaji is clarifying here. And some even may say that I am God. That is like the height of ignorance, we can say. Right? So, but actually there is no competition to the Lord. No one can compete with the Lord. He is so powerful. Right? Even the great demigods like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, they are very insignificant in comparison to the Lord. There are so many pastimes mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam which proves how Brahmaji was also bewildered by the Lord's opulence. Shivaji was also bewildered by the opulence of Lord Krishna. And the word Bhagwan, the definition of the word Bhagwan is given by one of our rishis, Parashar Muni, the father of Srila Vyasadeva. He says, ऐश्वर्यस्य समग्रस्य वीर्यस्य यशस्य ज्ञान वैराग्यश्चैव सन्नाम भगवम इतिंगण. सो इफ यू कैटेगराइज दी ऑपुलेंसेस इन टू सिक्स थिंग्स, पराशर मुनि सेइंग व्हाट आर द सिक्स काइंड्स ऑफ ऑपुलेंसेस दैट वी कैन सी इन दिस वर्ल्ड. ऐश्वर्यस्य समग्रस्य वीर्यस्य यशस्य श्रेयम, ब्यूटी, नॉलेज, स्ट्रेंथ, फेम, रिलेंसिएशन, वेल्थ. सो वी ऑल ऑफ अस वी हैव द टेंडेंसी टू गेट अट्रैक्टेड टू सम पर्सनैलिटी इन दिस वर्ल्ड हु मे हैव सम यू नो पोर्शन ऑफ दिस ऑपुलेंसेस इन सम क्वांटिटी, सम माइन्यूट क्वांटिटी. बट देन वॉट इज द डेफिनेशन ऑफ भगवान विच पराशर मुनि इज गिविंग हियर? Lord Krishna, the Bhagavan, possesses all these six opulences in unlimited quantity. So no one can come near to this definition. Any personality you take in this material world, in the whole universe, no one can come closer to the opulence which Krishna has, the Supreme Lord Vishnu, Lord Ramchandra has. Again, in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami also clarifies. He says, Krishna possesses 64 qualities in unlimited quantity. And all of us jivas, the living entities, we can possess at the most 78% of these qualities, which comes to around 50 qualities. And that too in minute quantity, very small quantity. And we feel that I am so great. You know, this little opulence that we have, we feel we are great. So Brahmaji, he may possess the 78% in large quantity, but most of us we possess in minute quantity. And Lord Shiva, he possesses 84% of these 64 qualities, which comes to around 54 qualities. Right? So Lord Shiva is neither Jiva nor the Supreme Lord. He is in between. He is an expansion of Lord Krishna. And then Vishnu possesses 93% of these 64 qualities, which comes to 60 qualities. So it is Krishna alone who possesses 4 additional qualities, which comes to 64 qualities. So that is the difference between the different personalities, great personalities in this world. So then Prabhupada explains in the purport, gradation of living entities, right, who become attracted to different aspects of this universe. The less intelligent people, they may get attracted to the thunderbolt and start worshipping it. Some huge mountain, they start worshipping that. Banyan tree, they start worshipping that, thinking that to be the Supreme Lord, God. And little advanced people, they may worship the people in this world. Like today people worship the movie stars, the sports stars. They have now become the worshipable gods. Right? But more advanced than these people are those who worship demigods. Right? Indra, Chandra, Ganapati, so many different varieties of demigods. But then that is also mentioned in Bhagavad Gita that they are less intelligent people. Kama istaiste ritagyana prapadyante anya devata. So their intelligence is stolen and that's why they surrender to different personalities of this world. So in today's discussion, we will discuss on two themes, which is given in the shlokas, the three sets of shlokas. First theme is the one and the many. The one represents the monotheism and the many represents polytheism. So Rig Veda, one of the oldest scriptures, one of the Vedas, it mentions, truth is one, though the wise refer to it in many ways, in various ways. Truth is one, but some people may, you know, refer to it in various ways. So this particular statement, you know, what can we infer from this statement? There are two kinds of aspects of Godhood, we can say. Monotheism and polytheism. So what are these? Most of us in India, most of the Hindu people who are practicing Sanatana Dharma, we have different kinds of photos of the gods in our altar at homes. It's something like we have a supermarket of gods. Right? Ganesh is there, Lakshmi is there, Saraswati is there, so many different varieties of Shivji is there, and kone mein kahin pe Krishna ka ek chota sa, you know, we have the the deity of Krishna also, little Krishna. So this is what India is mostly, right? So when we see that, we may infer that the overall tradition is, which is there in India, is commonly polytheism, so many gods. Ek ko khush nahi kiya, naraz ho jayega to kaise hoga? Chalo sabko, let us worship everyone. So without having the knowledge that who is the supreme, most of the people, they don't have any knowledge about who is the supreme among all of them. So, but there is again, simultaneously, there is also a philosophy in Vedic literature which also speaks about one supreme lord. Apart from the many gods, there is also a concept of one supreme lord. And we call him as Paramatma, Parameshwar, Jagadishwar, so many different, you know, names we have. But then, the philosophy of Krishna consciousness as given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reconciles everything, both the things, whether God is one or whether God is many. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us amazing philosophy, Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, simultaneously one and also different. So, God is one, He is also many. That is the proper understanding of this whole concept of monotheism and polytheism. So God reveals Himself in innumerable forms and shapes, but then He also expands, as mentioned in these three sets of verses, in lesser divinities. The divinity is in very less quantity, minute quantity, that we see in the personalities of this world. So Prabhupada, interestingly, he discusses about the Panchopasana in the purport, if you see. So we'll discuss briefly about this Panchopasana also. So Panchopasana means worship of five kinds of gods. Begins with worship of Durga, and then to Surya, Ganapatyas, Ganapati, and then comes to worship of Lord Shiva, and then comes to Lord Vishnu. So those who are worshipper of Durgaji, or the Shakti or the energy of the Lord, they are called as Shaktas. So what exactly this word Shaktas means? So Shaktas means those who are attracted by the powers, beauty and majesty that is there in the creation, without having any information of who the Supreme Lord is. So they get fascinated by the creations which are there in this material world, by seeing their beauty, opulence and majesty. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, so this discussion on the Panchopasana, I have taken from one of the articles by, Prabhupada's disciple, which he has taken from Bhaktivinoda Thakur Sri Bhagavad Dharma Vichar. So the discussion is from this, and this is the background of this discussion. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, this is the initial quest to understand about Brahman, the spirit. This is how people may begin their spirituality, by, you know, appreciating the creation of the Lord, appreciating the nature, the Shakti, the energy of the Lord, right? So this is also divine. Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita, my nature is divine. But she is working under the direction of Krishna, right? So this is how the Shakta worship, people, you know, tend to incline to worship the energy of the Lord, that is called as Shakta worship. But there is a problem here. Although they may worship the creation of the Lord, but they may be attracted to many other materialistic activities in this world. Some are even prone to eating non-vegetarian in the name of worship of Shaktas. Right? We see more prominently in Bengal, the Shakta worship. So Prabhupada categorizes the modern scientists also under this Shakta worship, because they are so fascinated by the creation of this world, and they are trying to analyze this world. That is what the scientists are doing all the time. They are analyzing the creation of the Lord and coming up with so many different theorems. And next level is Shauryas, the worship of sun god, Surya Dev. So these people, they have the understanding that there is heat in the center of this world, and because of which we can sustain our lives. We are able to digest the food that is from our stomach. In our stomach also we have heat or fire in the form of Jataragni. And because we are able to digest the food, we are able to make movement in this world, moving around in this world. So they consider Surya Dev, who actually gives us heat, light and warmth. So he is the source of our energy. So let us worship him. So that is how the worship of Surya Dev is also part of the Panchopasanam. So what are the examples of those who worship Surya Dev? Commonly in India also we worship Surya Dev. People offer argya to Surya Dev every day. Many people do this. And outside India also we have many places those who worship Surya Dev. For example, the Aztecs of Mexico, they also worship Surya Dev. And some tribal area in some of the African regions, they also worship Sun God, thinking him to be the Supreme Lord. And those who are little advanced, they come to the worship of Ganapatyas. So what is this Ganapatyas is all about? At this stage, there is an awareness that animated living entities are more important than the energies that are found in this world. So that they start appreciating the people in this world, the living entities. That is the meaning of Ganapatyas. And the form that they worship is Ganapati. And Shaktas, they are worshipping the form of Durga Devi, which is Shakta version. So what is the example for the worshipper of Ganapatyas? Humanitarianism. Being human. This is the common tagline that we see today. At least become a human being first. You know, appreciating other living entities. So that is the Ganapatyas. And then comes to the fourth stage of Shaivites, worshipping Lord Shiva. Here the consciousness of the person is little elevated. Right? He wanted to know what the soul is all about. But then the problem is they end up worshipping the Lord in the form of monism. Everything is one. You know, at the end we are going to merge in the body of the Lord. That is the kind of philosophy that they have. So this is like closer to the theistic philosophy. You know, at least there is concept, there is a inclination to understand who that Lord is, what is this spirit, what is this Brahman is all about. So this is more elevated than the previous that we have seen. So the examples of Shaivites that Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions is Buddhism and Jainism falls under the category of Shaivites. How? Because they also worship their end destination is monism, to get merged with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then comes the fifth stage, which is the most elevated, that is Vaishnavism, worshipping Lord Vishnu. Right? So here the understanding that all of us, we are jivas, we are living entities, and there is also a Supreme Lord, Lord Vishnu. And our relationship is, we are servants of Lord Vishnu. And having known this relationship, we serve the Supreme Lord. So that is the understanding of the Vaishnavism. But then, there is a problem here also. There are two kinds of Vaishnavism. One is called as mundane Vaishnavism, which is called as Bharavahi, where the focus is more on performing the rituals. Although it is part of the Vaishnavism, but the focus is more on the ritualistic thing. If you remember the example from Krishna Leela, right, the Brahmana Patnis, the husbands of these wives of Brahmanas. So they were doing a lot of yajna. Although Krishna was, you know, was asking them, please can you give us some prasad? So they were focused more on the externals. They were focused more on performing the yajnas without having the understanding who the Supreme Lord is, that we should serve him. And they missed the point. So this is like Bharavahi, focusing on the externals of the Vaishnavism. And next, even when we come to Krishna consciousness, initially we may be attracted to the externals. So it takes a lot of time to come to the internal stage of internalizing what we have heard, what we have been practicing so far. Right? So other one is spiritual Vaishnavism, which is called as Saragrahi. Drinking the essence, going to the essence of what we are reading from the scriptures, what we have been hearing from so many devotees, right? So that is actual Vaishnavism. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives, what are the examples of Vaishnavism? He mentions, interestingly, Judaism, Christianity and Islam. Very strange. So why? Because they also have the concept of worshipping one Supreme Lord. So because of this point, they can also come under this category of Vaishnavism. But then actual Vaishnavism, as I mentioned, is the spiritual Vaishnavism, Saragrahi, those who are drinking the essence like that. But then Brahmaji, he is discussing here with Narad Muni, he is telling that all these great personalities, they are not the Supreme Lord. So let us also hear from Brahmaji from his another text, where he is clarifying this, clarifying about the Panchopasana worship. So Brahmaji, he has given us Brahma Samhita, which also discusses about these five personalities. There are five shlokas which explains the position of these five personalities: Durga, Ganesh, Surya, Shivji and Lord Vishnu also. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives commentary on this Brahma Samhita, where he mentions about this. So he says, the first is Shrishti Siti Pralaya Sadhana Shakti Reka Chaye Vayasya Bhuvanani Bhivarti Durga Ichchanurupam Apiyasya Chachesta Tesa Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So here Brahmaji is clarifying the position of Durgaji. She is working under the direction of Lord Krishna and performing all the activities that are happening in this material world. So that is the position of Durga Devi. And then he says in another verse, Yachakshuresha Savitasa Kalagrahanam Raja Samasta Suramurti Rashesha Teja Yasyagnaya Brahmati Samrita Kala Chakro Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So here Brahmaji is clarifying the position of sun god also. He says, he is also working under the direction of Krishna. By the order of Krishna, he is rotating in a wheel, in a chariot. Right? So Kala Chakra, Sambhrita Kala Chakra. So he is moving around by the will of the Lord. So he is also following the orders of Lord Krishna. And then comes another verse in Brahma Samhita. Yatpada Pallava Yugam Vinidaya Kumbha Dvande Pranasamayesa Ganadi Raja Vignan Vihantumalamasya Jagatrayasya Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So here Brahmaji is clarifying the position of Lord Ganesh also. So Ganesh is Vignaharta, who can remove the obstacles. But then where does Ganeshji acquire this power? He has acquired this power from Lord Krishna, Govinda, Lord Narasimha Dev. That is the position of Ganeshji, which is being clarified by Brahmaji. And then comes the position of Lord Shiva. Kshiram yatadadi vikara vishesha yogat sanjayate nahi tatapi dagasti heto yashambhutam apitathasam upaiti karyat govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. So who is Lord Shiva? He is an expansion of Lord Krishna. The transformation of milk is curd, and that curd is nothing but Lord Shiva. So he is an expansion of Lord Vishnu, and he has a specific things to do in this material world, you know, the destruction potency of the Lord. And that is how he is also working under the direction of Lord Vishnu. So that is the position of Vishnu, or Lord Shiva, as clarified by Lord Brahma in Brahma Samhita also. And then comes Vishnu. About Vishnu also there is a beautiful shloka. Deepa chireva hi dashantaram abhyupetya Deepa yate vivritahetu samana dharma Yasta drigeva hi cha Vishnu taya vibhati Govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. So Vishnu, he is the manifestation of the Supreme Lord. The example, the analogy that is given, that of a candle. So we have the one candle which is lit, and with that candle we can light other candles. But original candle is Lord Govinda. So even Vishnu may have the opulence of Lord Krishna, but he is not Krishna. He is different from Krishna also. So Krishna is the original candle in that sense, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. The second theme that is mentioned in this set of verses is about all the great personalities that are there in this material world. They are considered, the powers that they have, the strength that they have, it is nothing but a fragment of Lord Krishna's splendor. Right. So Krishna also tells about this concept in Bhagavad Gita, 10th chapter. So 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita discusses about the opulences of Krishna and how we can see Krishna in everything that is there in this world. Right. Yad yad vibhutimat sattvam shrimat urjitam evava tat tat evavagacchatvam mama tejamsha sambhavam. So Krishna also is telling all that is majestic in this world, all that is opulent, urjitam, all that is beautiful, shrimat, everything is nothing but a small fragmental portion of Lord Krishna's opulence. Right. So now, having understood these two themes of whatever strength that we have, it is borrowed from Krishna. Borrowed plumes, as Prabhupada is mentioning in the purport. So everything is coming from Krishna. Aham sarvasya prabho, matta sarvam pravartate. Right. So when we have this understanding that what our position is, what the position of the Lord is, then how does it going to help us? So some reflections on this concept that is given in this shloka. First is, all of us, including the demigods, the great personalities in the universe, we are all part and parcel of Krishna. We are amsha of Krishna. Like we have a fire, and there are also sparks that are coming out of the fire. So now if we get attracted to the spark, does it have any meaning? The spark is going to get destroyed in a few moments. Similarly, if we get attached to the part and parcel, the sparks of this world, of the Supreme Lord, who are nothing but the great personalities in this universe, then we are going to lose. It is not going to help us. Right? So focus on the source of all this energy, source of all this strength, source of all this opulence. Then we will be benefited. Right? So if we get attracted to the sparks, the material enjoyment of this world, there is so much of infinite longing to enjoy this world, but there is a frustration. The result is frustration only. Better to, in spite of having infinite longing in this world, better to long for the infinite, that is the Supreme Lord, Lord Krishna. So I remember one story mentioned by Ishwaru Prabhu. So one time one person was staying in Vrindavan. So he was serving the head of the villager. So but then one day he came to know that the head of this villager, he is also worshipping someone else, the government officer. So he said, he is more powerful than this villager, this head of the villager. Let me go and serve him. So then he went and started serving the government officer. But one day he came to know even this government officer is obeying the orders of the magistrate. So then he left this job and went to serve this magistrate. And then he came to know even this magistrate is serving the minister. So he went and started serving the minister. And then this minister is also serving chief minister. And chief minister is serving prime minister. Right? So this person went on changing his master one after the other. And finally came to the position that even the prime minister in some countries, we still have the, you know, kings. So he is serving the king. So this old man, he started serving the king of the country. But one day he saw this king, he has, you know, he wore very simple clothes, no ornaments on his body, without chappal. He went to a temple and started worshipping Lord Krishna. So this old man understood that, you know, he is the Supreme Personality. Let me worship Krishna. I have been worshipping so many masters, but now I understood even they are worshipping some other personality and they are worshipping the Supreme Lord Krishna. So this can be a gradual, you know, promotion also. But then we need not have to go through all this different steps, we can directly come to Krishna consciousness. So this person, this old man, he became so attached to worshipping Krishna So he came to Vrindavan and he was at the door of Banke Bihari temple. I want to worship the Lord. He came in the evening time and the doors were closed. And the pujaris, they were telling that, are you mad? The temple is already closed. You come tomorrow. We will think if he can give some service to you. But then he said, no, let me serve today only. I don't know whether I will live till tomorrow. What is the guarantee that I will be alive till tomorrow? So let me please worship the Lord today itself. So he was so focused, you know, because he came to know that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. And then they said, maybe you can do one service. They just wanted to get rid of this old man. So they gave him some service. So maybe you can stand outside the altar of Banke Bihari and do not let anyone inside and do not let anyone outside also. That is your seva. So this old man, so he was sitting there the whole night. And in the middle of the night, Banke Bihari actually came out of the altar. And this old man could see him. And old man said, wait, no one can go outside. That is what the service is given to me. So you cannot go outside. So he said, this is the time for my Ras Leela, I have to go. But then, you know, I have been given this order by the pujaris. So how can I not obey them? Say, don't worry, you can also join me. So Banke Bihari took this old man to the forest. And then he told him, you wait here. I will complete the Ras Leela and come back. Till then you wait here. The whole night he was waiting in the dead of the night. The night was also very cold. It was the winter season. So he was shivering with cold. And then finally Lord came. And then he took him back to the temple. Both of them came to the temple. But then the old man was still shivering because of the cold. So then Banke Bihari said, don't worry. Please take my upper cloth and cover yourself and sit here. And the Lord entered the altar again. So next day the pujaris came and they saw the upper cloth is missing and this old man is sitting here. And they found out this upper cloth on the body of this old man. So how come this upper cloth has come onto your body? I think you have entered the altar. He said, no, you can see it is still locked by the time you came here. So I have not entered. Actually it is Banke Bihari who came outside. And, so they were not able to believe until they saw that upper cloth on the body of this old man. Right. Anyway, what was the point? The point was, so when we see, when we trace who is the greatest personality in this world, then we come to a point where Krishna is the Supreme Lord. And we start worshipping. We should start worshipping Lord Krishna. So, another important lesson that we can learn is, we should try, when we see the opulence and the power in the people of this world, we should try to admire them instead of trying to hanker to acquire them. Better to admire them. Sometimes we may become very envious if some other person has some opulence. He's a better singer, he's a better speaker, he's a better player, right? So when we see that, we may tend to become envious of this person. So instead of becoming envious, let us focus where this opulence is coming from. All these great personalities, they have acquired these qualities, talents or skills, whatever you say. The source is Krishna. So when we focus on the source, then we can get rid of this envious mentality. Instead of competing with people, we try to admire people. That is what another important thing that we can learn from this discussion. Celebrating others' success. So, one time, one question was asked to Radhanath Swami Maharaj. The question was, how can we know that whether we are advancing in our bhakti or not? How can we know that? So Maharaj gave an interesting answer. He said, when we see that other people are advancing, when we see that other people are receiving mercy, and when we see that if we feel happy inside, if we become joyful by seeing that, that means we are advancing. Celebrating others' success is such a difficult thing. But this has been the theme of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes also. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, we can see the whole pastimes rotates around this particular theme. How to become happy when we see others advancing, others receiving the mercy of the Lord. Right? The problem with this world is people become insecure in this material world. They are threatened. They feel threatened because if someone is getting something, maybe I will not get. So there is a fear. And because of there is competition, because of that there is envy in the heart. Right? The resources in this material world are limited. And that is why we see so much of insecurity in this world. But the mercy of Krishna is unlimited. There is no scarcity about that. If someone is receiving the mercy, then definitely we will also receive if we become sincere in our practice. So, if you see one example, when Mahaprabhu actually tested Ramanandra and Swarup Damodar Goswami, when he glorified Ramanandra, when he glorified Rupa Goswami in front of them. So he wanted to test whether they will feel happy or not when I glorify Rupa Goswami. Right? So we can see in the whole of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Mahaprabhu glorifying his devotees and other devotees, they were feeling happy about that. Right? So when we see, when we understand the source of all greatness that we see in this world is coming from Krishna, so instead of feeling envious, we admire them because they are manifesting the opulence of Krishna. And then we can focus on worshipping Krishna. That is the point. And a devotee can also have a disposition that I am just an instrument in the hands of Krishna. So whether I may do big things in this world, no matter. Maybe Krishna is manifesting his opulence through me in a simple way. That's also okay. So when we feel that I am just an instrument in the hands of Krishna, then we will be saved. Then we can advance in our spirituality. Sometimes, you know, there may be devotees who are very simple-minded. They may not do big services. But then, the most important thing, whether Krishna is happy with that devotee or not. Right? Hanumanji, if you take the example of Hanumanji, Hanumanji was the hero in Ramayana. But when he came to the war of Mahabharata, he played a simple role of sitting on the flag of Arjuna's chariot. So Hanumanji could fight such a big war, but when it comes to Mahabharata, he took a small position of, you know, sitting on the flag of Arjuna's chariot. So sometimes we may do big things, sometimes we may do very small things. That doesn't matter. The important disposition that a devotee should have is, I am just an instrument in the hands of Krishna. Whether Krishna wanted to manifest big things through me or small things through me, it doesn't matter. So that is what we can understand from the theme that Brahmaji is discussing here. And Krishna is manifesting his opulences through different personalities in this world just to attract us. So when we see powerful things in this world, someone is a good singer, so we may get attracted, wow, he's such a good singer, and that ability is coming from Krishna. So then we may get attracted to Krishna. The focus should be on the source of all these opulences. Then we can actually advance in our Krishna consciousness. And one last thing before I end. So, when we get attracted to the various personalities or objects of this world, there is a problem. What is the problem? They are finite. The happiness that they can give is limited. Very finite. And the destination that we receive, that is also finite. For example, if we worship some demigod, we may go to the planet of the demigod. But then that planet is also going to be destroyed one day. So all the great personalities of this world, they may give us something big. But they cannot give us one thing. That is liberation or mukti. So mukti is only the prerogative of Lord Krishna. It is Krishna only who can give us moksha. Lord Shiva, in his conversation with Mother Parvati, he mentions in Padma Puran, we can give so many benedictions to our followers, to our devotees, but one thing which we cannot give is moksha. And moksha or mukti can be given only by Lord Krishna. So we have seen this Panchopasana worship of, you know, coming to the point of worshipping of Lord Vishnu. But the rare thing is coming to the worship of Lord Krishna. That is even much rarer. Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavan mam prapadyate. Vasudevam sarvamitim sa mahatma sudurlaba. So worshipping Krishna, understanding that Krishna is everything, is even rare. right? And that is our bhagya or fortune that, you know, because of this ISKCON movement, by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, we got connected directly without having to go through this different gradual process of elevation. And even rarer than accepting Krishna as the Supreme Lord is accepting Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Lord, non-different from Krishna. That is even rare. If you see the conversation between Gopinath Acharya and Sarvam Bhattacharya, so when Gopinath Acharya mentions to him that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself, so he does not believe that. He says that, you know, there is no incarnation that is mentioned in the scriptures. The Lord is called as Triyugi. He comes only in the first three yugas. He does not come in Kali Yuga. Right? So he gives his own understanding. But then Gopinath Acharya says, you are not able to understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Krishna himself because you have not received his mercy. So unless I share my own experience when I was staying with devotees in a base. So initially when I came in contact with devotees and starting to hear about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it was a difficult phase to accept Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Lord. So it was a long phase. It is not so easy because we have never heard about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu right from our childhood. We have heard about Krishna, Rama, Vishnu, only that these personalities. But about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we never heard it. So it is so difficult to accept him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that is happen. That can happen only by the mercy of devotees and mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. So these are the discussions I thought I will discuss on this particular subject that Brahmaji is discussing with Narad Muni. So two themes that we have seen is, first is the one and the many aspect, the monotheism and polytheism, how God is one, He is also many, and that can be reconciled by Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then we have seen the second theme, we have seen the Panchopasana worship also, coming gradually to the stage of worshipping Lord Vishnu, but greater than that is worshipping Lord Krishna and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also. And we have seen the second theme wherein Brahmaji is giving the understanding that we are nothing but the opulence that we have is nothing but a fragmental portion of Krishna's opulence. We are nothing, we are very negligible in front of Krishna. So he is clarifying his position. And then we have seen some reflections also based on the understanding of these three verses, how we should be focusing on the source of this opulence, not on the opulent personalities. Then we can also advance in our spirituality. And instead of becoming envious of what other people possess, let us focus on where they are getting from. The source is Krishna. Right? Krishna can choose to manifest his opulence through someone and he may choose not to manifest through someone. That's okay. The more important thing is that we are able to get to perform bhakti in the association of devotees. That is the greatest benediction that we have received. Right? So, I will end my class here. Hare Krishna. So, since it is already late, maybe if someone has any questions or any comments, they can meet me after the class. So, we'll end here. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Itai Gaur Premanande.